to abide. Bless me to abide. In Jesus' name, amen. So I learned that song at Port City on Father's Day. Please be seated. When I got to worship with my son and thinking of what God has done, it still moves me. Father, bless us as we look into your word. Give us grace to see, to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So some years back, there was an author who had a very famous book on prayer, and he was chosen to be the speaker for an annual fundraising event for an organization that I was serving as chairman of the board at that time, and I was so excited to meet him. The evening of the event, I helped him with any events that he needed, showed him around, helped him get where he needed to be, and this was at the time when I was working on my first book, and I was about to submit it to a publisher, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if this guy, who's a best-selling author, could take a look at it and maybe tell me, you know, if something needs work? And so after the event was over, I asked him, and it was one of those sort of talk-to-the-hand moments where the response was, no, I don't do that anymore. And that was it. And I thought, wow. Wow. Note to self. If you ever get a book published, never, ever do that. Don't do that. It only takes a moment to look at a manuscript, and you may learn something. So I told him, that's okay. I never really cared for your book anyhow. I thought it was intellectually shallow and a classic example of how to misinterpret a book and it will not, or a verse, and apply it completely out of context, and it will not stand the test of time. I'm just messing with you. I didn't say that. I didn't even think that. Not until later. But I put that in just now because, human pride. Right? I mean, mine was hurt. His was on display. It's a tricky thing, isn't it? I mean, if it's that old thing about if you want to point it out in someone, be careful, you know, because you might have, what's the name for that? When your thumb points back at you? As well, is it a distal thumb? I'm trying to remember. Anyhow, hitchhiker's thumb is the common name for it. Our scripture this morning is a great antidote for pride. It's another Psalm of Ascent, which we've been looking at. If you're here with us for the first time, we are on a reading program where we're reading through scripture in 2 years, and so. We're bouncing about from Old and New Testament, back and forth where we're reading, and this is one of ours again this morning. Recently, and again, the Psalms of Ascent are Psalm 120 through 134, sung by Jewish pilgrims en route to the festivals in Jerusalem. Jesus knew them by heart, sang some of them at the Last Supper. That was part of the Passover feast, so it's amazing we actually know some of the things that Jesus sang before he went to the cross, when it says after they had sung a hymn, you know. So turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 131, the third shortest psalm in the Bible. Third shortest. Shortest is 117, I think. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. So this psalm is clearly a prayer written by David, and it shows you the humble faith that he had. It's thought that there are two possible times in his life when David could have written this psalm. The first is when he was hunted by Saul, wrongfully accused of being full of himself and, you know, pridefully wanting to overthrow the king. That's the one time. The other time is when the ark is brought back to Jerusalem and David dances before the Lord with all his might, and his wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, you know, basically says that, you know, he's just, you know, showing himself to be a commoner and putting himself on display and all this stuff. And we don't know for sure when the psalm was written. It could be either of those occasions. But basically, you know, here it is. I mean, David, think about what he's saying. Think again that this is David. This is the one who actually is God's gift to Israel. I mean, you know, he is chosen by God. And he knows it. But he doesn't see it that way. It's not about him. So, yeah, even though, again, this is such an amazing person, it shows you the heart of his faith in a beautiful way. And I think that's why we hear in Scripture that David was a man after God's own heart. That's what he wanted, God's heart, to be in love with God, to live in that relationship. I mean, think about saying that, being able to write that. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I don't know about you, but I mean, as soon as I would write that down, I'd have to scratch the words out. The Holy Spirit would start convicting me because there's that moment, you know, and David is genuinely humble. And to understand this, we have to keep reading. I do not concern myself with great things or matters too wonderful for me. Now, that's a statement of faith, because the word that he uses in the Hebrew is sometimes used to describe the wonders of God. So he's basically saying, God, I trust you. I don't concern myself. I'm not going to ask why this is going on. You are God. I'm not. You're sovereign over life. You are great, and I'm very small, and I'm going to rest in you, and I'm going to trust you. That's not an easy place to be, really. I mean, to get to that place, so often we have this mentality, and I don't know if it's ingrained in us from, you know, when we're disciplined and rewarded as kids, you know, I did good, therefore good things should happen. And then we take that and we apply that in our relationship with God, and we wonder why good things don't happen sometimes. And it is a broken world, and we ourselves are broken and sometimes think dark thoughts of God. But David is in this place, and the only way we can get there is with the help of God. And I think that's a great thing to pray for, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to get frustrated. And God wants us to come to him that way as well. But I can think of times in my life where I've looked at something and I've prayed, come on to God, you know, or something like that. It's like, come what? You know, and keep reading and look at what David's practice is. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. The Contrast is with a breastfed child who isn't weaned, always looking, always wanting, rooting about, never giving poor mom a break. Me, 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 now, now, now. Welcome to the 21st century. We never do that to God. No, not us. And such is the grip of sin and self on our hearts. Maybe I'm the only one who is convicted that I need to praise God more than I do, to make my prayers more about Him. The ironic thing is, I will be blessed if I do that, right? It's a blessing to be set free from sin and self. What hymn mentions that? Remember? Anyhow, I'm digressing a lot this morning. But I've calmed it and quieted myself. This is his approach to prayer. I've calmed and quieted myself. Why? Because God is enough. You see David doing this in the Psalms, and other psalmists as well. You know, it's this moment of again, note to self, you know. Be still, my soul. This isn't self-soothing. This is God-soothing. Letting God into the moment, letting your soul be soothed by Him, living it out, mindful of His Spirit. This is the kind of peace that comes, the shalom, shalom, the words repeated twice in the Hebrew, that rests on us as we are in His presence, mindful that He is God, mindful that we are loved by Him. It is this amazing thing. It is this gift. So that we can even pray with Catherine of Siena, and all will be well, and all will be well, and every manner of thing will be well. Because no matter what happens, no matter what this life holds, no matter how unfair this life is, if there's someone hunting me to take my life, if there are people who think the worst of me, that I'm some kind of a pervert, as again, these are the things that could be going through David's mind. I'm yours, Lord. You've got me. I rest in You. You love me. And that's why the psalm ends with this explanation. Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. I also like the way the ESV translates this verse. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The point is that God is worthy to be sought. God is worthy to be hoped in. Because He is the source of everything good, and His goodness is such, it is so effusive, that the reason He desires for us to come to worship isn't because it's this prideful thing, well, just worship me. You know, it's this, this is what you're made for, and I love you, and it just, the beauty of who He is flows so naturally from Him, and we're caught up in this. And we're blessed because of it. And it's out of love that He wants us to worship Him. I'd like to close today with an illustration from an author on prayer that I really enjoy, who actually took the time to take me out to lunch one day in Santa Barbara. Not that I'm petty or catty about these things, mind you. His name is Ben Patterson, and he's writing about this psalm and a time in his life when he lost confidence in himself. And he called it a happy event, and he was confined to bed because of two bulging discs in his back. But the bed was too soft, and that caused him pain, so he ended up on the floor for 6 weeks while they were trying to decide, does he need surgery or not? And while he was down there, he began to pray. I think I'm going to need my glasses here. So here we go. All I could do was pray, which didn't seem like much. You've been there? So to make it seem more substantial, I decided to pray for every single person in my congregation every day. It took me 2 or 3 hours, don't get me wrong. This wasn't piety, it was boredom and desperation. But very soon, those times of prayer grew to be sweet. Near the end of my convalescence, I had taken a walk and was back on the floor resting and thinking that it would be what it would be like to go back to work. I prayed, Lord, these times of prayer have been sweet. It's too bad I won't have time to pray this much when I go back to work. The Lord answered me very clearly. He said, stupid. Really? It was in a friendly tone, though. He continued, you have the same 24 hours each day when you're well as when you're sick. The trouble with you, Ben, is when you're well, you think you're in charge, and when you're sick, you know you're not. I'm still far from where I want to be, he writes, but I'm not what I was. I want to be able to say with a full heart, yes, like a weaned child, is my soul within me. Praying the psalm is a good way to get there. May we pray. Father, thank you for the moving of your Spirit in our hearts, calling us from pride, calling us to you. Thank you, Lord, that you long for us to do this because you long to bless us. And in your goodness, there is peace and strength. You long to soothe the wrinkles from our brows, to speak to us your wisdom, your hope. Jesus, we praise you that you came to show us this, and praise you for your cross, that you came to give us peace with the Father. And this morning, as we're before him, we don't want to miss the opportunity to come to him afresh, to say, yes, Lord, more of you, more of you. I'm tired of living for self. Help me. Help me to long for you more. Help me to be with you more, to rest in you more. Maybe this morning you sense his Spirit drawing you in a fresh way. Maybe you've never come to him and beautiful thing about Jesus is he said, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. He meets us exactly where we are. And if we come to Him and acknowledge our need, our need for forgiveness, our need for His love to fill us and make us new, His word tells us if we confess our sins, He'll cleanse us of all of our sins. We'll become a new creation in Him, in His love. And this morning, just a simple prayer of yes, Lord, yes. I want that. Forgive me. Fill me. Help me. Set me free in Your love. And He will meet you in that place. It's a beautiful thing about Him. And thank You for the beauty of Your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.